This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Outside the Round. Today, a very special guest, longtime homie of the Rage Rowdy family. I remember when he first moved up to Nashville, Tennessee, first moved down to Nashville, Tennessee from the great state of Kentucky. It's our boy, Cody Loden. Big Papa, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. This is your first podcast.
First podcast, yep.
And I'm honored that it is with us, with me here on Outside the Round and within the Rage Rowdy Network, bro. And you're someone that we've known. What year did you move here again?
January of 23.
January of 23. So we're officially coming up on 4 years in, bro.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
And a lot of stuff's happened since then, huh?
Yeah, it's different. In a good way, though, yeah.
Yeah, man, and it's like one of my favorite parts about what we get to do at Rage Rowdy is we get to know guys and girls when they first come to town, and like you find your, we get to see you guys all find like your homies that you start writing songs with, and your class, if you will, of homies that move here around the same time. And your class is one of my absolute favorites that I've gotten to be a part of with doing the rounds and everything, and it seems like all you guys are in such a good place right now.
I guess Kenny Whitmire.
Kenny.
Yeah, Christian, Yancey, Austin Snow, Eamon Owen, all the Highway Homeboys, Connor and all them.
And even the girls like the Callie Princes, the Avery Bielskis, the Shelby Rays, bro. Like you guys all coming into town at the same time and learning how to do this shit together. It's, and now fast forward 3-4 years and looking at where you guys are all at.
Everybody's got something going on.
Everybody's winning, bro. Yeah. Everybody's winning, man. And you've got a unique history of what you did. Everybody has something that they did before they were in music. You were a first responder.
Yep.
Your big ass was a firefighter.
Yep. And a paramedic.
And a paramedic.
In Kentucky. Yep.
What was that life like?
It was good. It was busy. A lot of lack of sleep and seen a lot of shit. Yeah. But,
and how old were you when you were doing that?
I guess I started, I've always been around it. I grew up in it. My dad was a paramedic and stuff. I guess I was 16 when I took my EMT class. My dad was my instructor for that too. And then graduated high school, and then I got my certification, and then started working straight out of high school in 2017.
Wow. Now would you have to like be climbing into windows and stuff as a, how does a big guy like you get through a window?
It's tough, but it's good. Just fall right in, you know?
Just fall right in. And now growing up, where you grew up in Garfield, Kentucky, is that pretty small town?
Yeah. I think Breckinridge County is like 20,000 people, it's like a really big county,
but it's like spread,
it's done by farmland,
so it's spread out, so the calls you were responding to are like,
well, I worked part-time there in my hometown, but I worked an hour away in the city in Louisville.
Oh, so you were in Louisville.
Yeah,
so you were a first responder in a pretty big metropolitan area, so you respond to all kinds of calls.
Yeah, I've seen anything you can think of.
What was one of the wilder ones that you
Everybody always asks me about.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. That's why I'm asking you it on
here.
I mean,
I've seen anything you've seen in the movies, I've seen in real life. I mean, shootings, stabbings, overdoses, dead people, dead adults, dead babies.
Jeez.
Everything, yeah.
Wow. So what a switch. So, and you picked up the guitar at a young age. You started playing when you were around like 12 years old, right?
Yep. My dad got me into that as well. I think I was 12. I might have been 10. I always say 12, but it was around then. I got an Epiphone electric, like mini, with like a Louisville Cardinal bird on it. Dad taught me some chords, I think like 7 or 8 chords, and then I would get on YouTube and watch like Marty Schwartz or something and learn songs, and then I did chorale in high school, chorus or something.
Oh, chorale. I've never heard chorale.
I think it's like chorus or whatever.
Okay, but then Kentucky, they call it chorale. See, when I think of a Kentucky chorale, I'm thinking of the Golden Corral.
Yeah, been there too.
We got one of those here in Hermitage right behind the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I haven't been in one of them in forever. Mac and cheese is great.
Yeah, You know who used to take me to the Golden Corral or like want to meet up there was SJ McDonald.
Really?
Yeah, small town. Because being from New York, I'd never been to one. Like I've still never been to a Shoney's, bro.
Crazy.
I've never been to a Shoney's. You been to a Shoney's?
I've been to a Shoney's.
I hear the breakfast.
I actually have that and a song lyric that's not out yet.
Really?
Talking about doing donuts in the parking lot.
Doing donuts in the Shoney's parking lot?
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, well,
some redneck shit.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you had a Louisville Cardinal bird on the guitar. So you're a Louisville guy, not a Cats fan.
Yeah.
You're the first Kentucky guy that I've met, a Kentucky artist, songwriter in town, that pulls for the Cardinals and not the Cats. Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, growing up, it's always been, like, my family is divided down the middle. I feel like everybody in Kentucky is like that.
Everybody's got a family member. Kentucky. Everybody's got a family member that pulls for another team.
And Kentucky fans are super annoying when it comes to sports. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of grew up part of my life in Louisville, too. So grew up watching them. And it wasn't because they were winning, but...
I mean, you got to see Lamar Jackson.
I did get to see Lamar, yeah.
And you got to see, you're probably old enough to remember Teddy Bridgewater, too. Yeah. Like, they had some good teams.
Yeah. And I loved Teddy Bridgewater, and then Lamar came along, and it was like...
He's like, Teddy who?
We're back, yeah.
But yeah. It's like Trevor Lawrence and who was it? Was it Deshaun Watson that was at Clemson before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the same type of thing where the classes come along, dude. But I mean, so your story is wild because you were part of the crew that, like, you're one of, like, Ernest is like a big brother, slightly even like Music City
the
father.
Music dad, yeah.
Music City dad. And you have a similar path to Chandler Walters where Earn was scrolling on TikTok and just comes across your ass singing. So take me back to that moment when you were just back home in Kentucky and posting on a whim on social media.
I was coming down here for, I think, like 6 to 9 months, and I was staying on Kenny Whitmire's couch.
Wow.
Christian Yancey and Sam Johnson. And I don't know what we were doing. I was just down here writing and stuff, and then I pulled up my shirt and was like scratching my belly or something, and Nathan Wilson like started playing drums on my stomach, and I started singing Black Betty, and Kenny was cracking up on the couch, and he's like, that's hilarious, do it again, I'm gonna record it. So he records it. I go home to Kentucky. He's like, yo, you gotta post that. I'm like, I'm not posting that. I want people to take my music serious. And then I ended up posting it. I think within like 10 minutes, it had like 170,000 views on TikTok. So I knew it was blowing up. I had like one video blow up before that, and it wasn't music. It was me riding a four-wheeler, and it looked like I was twerking on the four-wheeler because I was trying to ride up a gazebo.
You were what?
It was wet, yeah.
Trying to ride up a gazebo?
Yeah, just like
how does that even? How do you? How the entrance of it? Yeah, you weren't like on was, top
no,
of the
no,
gazebo.
No.
I was like, how are you getting on a four wheeler going up the top of a gazebo?
That would be crazy.
Like that's some Kentucky shit.
Yeah. But I was doing that, so I posted the video. Kenny talked me into it, and like 170,000 views. First night, woke up the next morning, I had like 4 million, and I was like, oh shit, this is kind of cool. I had a DM from Barstool Sports, and they were like, yo, can we post your video on Instagram? So I posted that, and then the next day, I think it had 10 million, 10.4 million, something like that. And then Barstool's was rocking at like 5 or 6 million already, too. And then I had a text from Chandler and an unknown number, which was Earn. I think Chandler got my number from somebody in our friend group. Earn was like, I fuck with your shit. I like what you're doing. You should come to Big Loud and write. I didn't even know what Big Loud was at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I remember sending him, like, a screenshot of the GPS. I was like, is this the right place?
Yeah.
Pulled up, like, 2 weeks later. Wrote a song. I think we wrote two that day. But I was, like, super nervous. Didn't know what I was getting myself into. Somewhat new to co-writing still. I was in Kentucky the night before, and I was, like, preparing, like, my dumbass brought in, like, I was so green, I brought in, like, 3 minutes of melodies over a guitar riff. Like, that's how I knew I was, I guess, to co-writing.
Yeah.
Not bringing in a concept or a full idea.
Yeah, you don't know until you know, bud.
Yeah. Showed him that, and he was like, yeah, that's cool. And then they went outside and smoked and came back in, and now I know how Earn writes. Like, he picks up a guitar and starts freestyling shit, and it's all good for the most part. And you have a whole song, he'll go on for 10, 15 minutes freestyling. But he started doing that, and I was thinking, I was like, shit, they just blew past my idea. I'm screwed. My 3.5 minutes of melody is now not getting written. And then he was acting like he was going to leave, and I'd actually wrote like a verse chorus that night, trying to prepare. And I eventually like talked myself into like, here, tell me if this is good or not. And I played it, and he was like, well, I'll be damned, just when I thought we couldn't write another whiskey song. And so we tweaked it. I was with Earn, Chandler, and Rocky Block. That was my first right there.
Wow. Yeah. Not a bad first room to be
in. Yeah.
Not a bad first room to be in at all.
Yeah. Stacked. So we wrote that, and then Earn said he was leaving, and then he came back in like 10 minutes later, and I met Morgan. He came in and kind of talked to me for 10 minutes, and then he took a dip out of my dip can, and at the time, I'm like, I'm going to save this can forever, you know? Now I'm like, ah, yeah, whatever. But he said he liked the song, and then he ended up holding the song like 2 weeks later, but then he didn't end up recording it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got that out the way. Then I seen him at like Morgan at Red Door. I was with Austin Snell and Christian, and we were like in the back corner, and Morgan just like pulled up and was like, yo, I love that song, and started singing the whole chorus to me.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm cutting it. And then he didn't. But I got that out of the way early, so
yeah.
I'm not looking forward. If somebody says they're going to cut it, I'll believe it when I see it.
When it's recorded. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when it comes out.
Yeah, when it comes out, because it can be recorded and put in hold, dude. Yeah, so you got a crash course. Like, as soon as you got here, you got thrown into that. Mm-hmm. And being a part of DeVille Records and being someone that an OG like Earn and the whole Big Loud family's taking a chance on, yourself, mm-hmm. Reese Rutherford and Chandler, like... Yeah. That's gotta be cool to be part of a crop and get that seal of approval and get folks investing their time, energy, and money into you.
It was cool seeing everybody like wanting to support it and actually like what we're doing. And Earn, he hit us up and was like, yeah, I'm gonna start a label. I wanna sign you all. And we did that, and then did like it's kinda like a rap way to do it, I think, how we did the album, the Cadillac Sessions. It was kinda like all of us featured on the same thing, and got to do it with the boys, and it was cool to see it all come together. We did it at the Castle Studios, which was super sick.
Yeah, too. That has to be wild. Where's that at again?
I don't remember fully. Maybe in Franklin or
okay,
something.
But it's not. But it's not on. Not on Music Row. Like it's a
no.
It's a special kind of place
in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I don't remember exactly where, but it looks like a legit castle. And like we got up on the roof and. I think there's like some old mob ties to the building or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it makes sense with DeVille Records.
Like one of their underground things. Yeah, and they would have people like staked out on the roof and shit.
Wow.
That's what I heard, yeah. Kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy, bro. That is wild. And you mentioned like some of your boys early on and like getting to see what Kenny and Austin, Christian just had his first number one with Josh.
Yeah.
And everybody's winning. And another name that you mentioned in there was a near and dear friend to us in Sam Johnson, man. Mm-hmm. And having champions like that are your peers. And Sam, I just want you to talk about him a little bit, because I've done that when I've had Austin, when I've had Kenny, when I've had all the boys on here, and just how impactful your time with a guy like him and a brother that was taken from us too soon.
He was a great dude, really good writer too, and like the nicest human ever.
Yeah.
It was like everything was starting to work out for him too when it happened, so that sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, great dude.
Always blew the best vape clouds on stage at Live Oak, bro. Yeah. Like those are some of my favorite photos that Ike has from back in the day at Live Oak, is all you guys playing, and it's cool to look back on those moments of like when the squad was new to town and y'all were frequently at doing rounds and doing that to one, get to know each other better and be a part of the scene. But it's, I always love looking back on those photos and the impact that a guy like Sam Johnson had, yeah, and his time going out on the road too with Drew Green. Like, he was just always such a joy to be around, you know?
Yeah.
Made everybody around him better. And, his family and stuff. I still think about him all the time, man. And it's like, I know he's looking down, seeing all the boys winning all the girls winning, seeing Callie and Shelby doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's wild, man.
Yeah.
It's wild stuff. So
the old Live Oak days.
Bro. The old Live Oak days, man. It's different now. We do our rounds over at the local, and we have Odie's, which you were just at a rowdy on the row. You were hanging out there. You were throwing some bags out there in the backyard.
Can't be beat at cornhole.
You can't be beat at cornhole.
Can't be beat.
What are the other things that you claim to be best at in the squad? Are you a hooper?
I'm a hooper, yeah. I'm an out of shape hooper. But yeah, I mean, I still got a little sauce. Unless we're playing full court, then I'm fucked.
You're a half court guy. You're boxing out in the paint.
Yeah, we got to we just headlined like this new festival in Maine, and we set it up to where like we played their high school team. That was super sick at their gym, and we busted their ass. But
where in Maine was it?
Madawaska.
Madawaska. Okay, so my dad's actually from Maine, so I grew up going there like every summer as a kid. My grandmother still lives up in like the Portland area. And Maine in the summertime, it's a beautiful place, isn't it?
It was like 75 during the day, 45 at night.
You know, it's wild. My first time seeing a southern flag, like seeing the Stars and Bars, was in Maine. And I was like, I'm in the most northern part of the country. Like, there are some country people up there. Like, it's like the bush up there.
That's what I was telling them. I was like, I didn't travel much, like, growing up. But going, like, I played a show in Jordan, New York, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like
upstate
New York.
Yep.
And I was like, I didn't know there was rednecks up here.
Oh, dude. I
was playing out. I was with 060 opening for them, and it was like, it looked like a barn. And it was just completely packed out, jacked up trucks and lights in their wheels and big ass tires. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned the old 60 guys. There are another story that came out of Live Oak. I remember when we had Jacob come down and play that first round, and then their first full band show in front of people, because they had jammed out at Galaxy Pizza before that, after hours up there in Owensboro. And they're Kentucky boys like you, man. And it's like everybody talks about the Georgia boys. There's a strong musical history and scene of guys and girls and bands and players from the Bluegrass State. And it's called the Bluegrass State for a reason, man. Yeah. So talk about being one of the newer guys making it out of the Kentucky scene.
I mean, it feels good. I'm a big, like, Keith Whitley fan.
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton's from there. Who else?
Sturgill.
Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, Loretta Lynn's a Kentucky born. I mean, I've been thinking, like, you were talking about Nathan Wilson. He's a Kentucky boy. Yeah. Connor Hicks, Kentucky boy.
Yeah.
Chase McDaniel, Kentucky.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Chase is a Kentucky boy. He went to Louisville. He was a power lifter.
Really?
At Louisville.
That's funny.
Yeah, which is wild, because he's got the long hair and stuff. But next time you see him, you got to ask him about his photos being a power lifter, scholarship power lifter at freaking for the Cardinals, man. But there's you can tell like the songwriting, and you hear it a lot with Old 60 and with the Sons of Habit guys, like singing about some of the darker stuff. But there's also a lot of fun times you can have in a small town.
Oh, yeah.
And you have,
that's where I come into play.
That is where you come into play, bro. Very much so, man. Yeah. Like, you're very much part of this wave. Nikki T and I have kind of coined it as like, let's make country fun again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have some fun beer drinking songs. Yeah. Like
summertime beer drinking, having a good time.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you literally have drinks can drink. Like these drinks can drink themselves, bro. Yeah. So talk about how you've kind of discovered your sound here in the past few years and what's led you to put out the songs that you have. Because this year's been a big year for you in terms of releases.
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing for, well, I guess since I moved. I guess I signed my pub deal in September of 22 and then moved in 23. But, I mean, I've been writing probably 350 songs a year since then, Monday through Friday, sometimes twice a day. And I just feel like I finally found my songs, you know? And we recorded like 14 songs the first time. I mean, there's a little bit of everything in there. Heartbreaker, good old boy, bro country vibes, party songs. And then we're about to cut some more here soon in the next couple of weeks. But I feel like I'm finally locked into my sound and it feels good.
Yeah, dude, as it should, bro. And I think it's cool getting to watch folks when they first come to town and then watching you guys figure out exactly what it is that you want to say. Like figuring out the sound, dude, because your first songs that you were playing on those early rounds at Live Oak and what you're putting out right now and what streaming's reacting to and fans are reacting to, like Getting Nowhere, like your latest song that you've put out, sounds completely different than what you were playing acoustic, man.
For sure. Yeah. I go back sometimes and listen to songs I wrote when I first came here and I'm like, no, that ain't it.
Well, it's the evolution, bro.
Yeah.
It's like if you look at school or even like in sports, like what you were doing as a 6 or 7 year old and what you're doing as like a 12, 13 year old are different, you know?
Yeah.
It's the evolution.
A lot of reps.
Yeah, the reps and getting to soak it up. And I think there's a lot, and you could probably relate to this. I've heard a lot of people say there's something very important about being the quote-unquote weakest writer or the most green guy in the room because you're just learning from the guys and girls around you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with Earn, too. I learned really quick to, like, know my place in the room with him. Especially now that I'm writing with bigger writers and stuff, too. You don't want to step on toes, especially with him, because he's freestyling the whole time, and you don't want to mess up his flow. But, yeah, knowing my place in the room has helped out a lot with bigger people.
What was one of the biggest pieces of advice early on that you got from, say, Earn or another OG that you
That's one of them, knowing my place in the room. Being humble, being a good hang, good person. Yeah.
It's important stuff.
Yeah.
Drinks Can Drink, over a million streams, bro. Yeah. How's that feel to have a song that has been played over a million times just on Spotify alone?
That's great. That's my, I guess Tell Light, Porch Light, Miller Light. Not on Spotify, but overall, I think it's got like almost 2 million on Apple.
Wow.
But since January, it was kind of like after the Cadillac sessions, was like, all right. Go do your thing, you know, after your introduction. So it's cool to see people are liking my shit and listening to it.
Yeah. What was, I'm thinking back to like the era, because you're how old? You and I are probably close.
27.
You're 27, so you're a few years younger than me. So you graduated high school 2017?
2017.
So you were graduating high school, right? Like the FGL stuff had kind of happened. Mm. Morgan, like whiskey glasses and all that stuff was starting to come out around then. Hardy was starting to bubble up around then. Like for you, what were those songs that you were cranking up in the truck at those field parties and hanging out in high school?
I mean, my influences are kind of all over the place. I grew up listening to Keith Whitley, to Snoop Dogg, to Bruno Mars. Everything other than like metal, hardcore shit. But around that time, definitely some FGL, some Cruise. I didn't dive into like albums and stuff like that growing up, but I know the big ones. Alabama on a boom.
Bro, I was just going to say, Anything Goes. I think I saw that tour because that was the, I forget if that was the Smooth tour. I think that it might have been the tour before that because I would go see FGL like multiple times a year.
Really?
Like if they came within a couple hour radius of New York where I was from, I'd go to those shows. And Nikki T tells stories about going to FGL shows and him and his friends renting school buses and taking school buses and buying lawn tickets and being on the lawn at the amphitheater up in Pittsburgh. And it just being such a party, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories from Earn and Romy he's at Big Loud. He does the bus stuff and was like doing the Tree Vibe stuff. And
yeah, dude, that's like one of the golden eras because country music wouldn't be where it's at now. And that model of bringing out Morgan and Earn and Hardy and Red Farron and all those writers in a separate bus on the tour, like those kids just had their own bus to write with Party and write with T-Hub and BK.
It's crazy.
Those stories have to be crazy.
Yeah, I've heard some. I won't disclose. No.
That was again a different era. But
trying to keep my job.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're proving your worth and your value over there. You got nothing to worry about, bro. And it's a cool roster over there where it's like all you guys are getting to come up together and all doing your thing, and you guys all have different sounds too. Yeah. Like your stuff, Reese's stuff, and Chandler's stuff all sound different.
Yeah, mine's more fastball-ish. Chandler's got like the Western sound.
Yeah.
Reese is like John Mayer country.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. The swagoo.
Yeah.
What do you like doing when you're not out doing the music stuff? Because I know it takes up a lot of your time writing. You said like 300 something songs.
Yeah. I stay pretty busy. But I like to play basketball, fish, hunt when I can, which is not much recently. I don't know. That's probably really about it. Play some Rocket League with the boys.
Okay. And then you get on Fortnite at all?
Yeah, Fortnite, yeah.
Because I hear Christian's really good at Fortnite. I haven't played with him. I'm not very good at Fortnite. I've probably gotten on the Fortnite like less than a dozen times in my life. Nicky T was on there for a while.
Yeah, I think he's still playing, yeah.
Yeah, but
Every now and then I see the boys still on there.
Yeah.
But not as much as we used to.
Rocket League, are you the goalie or are you the guy getting the goals? Where do you fall?
He's the Rocket League guy.
He's the Rocket League guy?
He went to college for Rocket League.
Majored in Rocket League.
But he would tell you I'm fucking terrible at Rocket League. I just ride around and blow up cars and
okay, so you're the enforcer. You're the enforcer. Yeah, you're like the guy on the ice that's just knocking people over.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense looking at you. Yeah. So you played basketball.
My car looks like me.
Yeah. It's just a big bruiser.
Yeah, it's a tall, overweight car with big wheels on it.
Hell yeah. So did you play basketball growing up? Did you play any other sports?
I played baseball and football and basketball up until eighth grade. And then I fucked my back up in football.
Oh, no.
But this dude was built like, what's his name off the Blind Side? Malcolm Orr or something?
Michael Orr.
Michael Orr, yeah. Yeah, that was...
So what, you just get pancaked and...
It's kind of a lame story because it was our first day of hitting drills.
Oh, it was in practice?
Yeah, it was in practice. Shit. And we were doing like a heads-up drill and I was a big dude, but like this dude was like, he looked like he was ready to be in college or something.
Did he end up playing in college?
I don't know. I don't even remember his name, honestly. I wish I did. I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah, if he's like, watch you look him up and he's like...
He plays for the Ravens.
Yeah, he's like in the NFL.
I'm like, oh, yeah, my story's cool now.
Yeah.
But, heads up drill, and I'm like, I'm smoking this guy. Like, he's not that fast. And I had the ball, and as soon as I turned up, he was there and picked me up over his shoulder and ran for about 10 yards and then pile-drived me into the ground and then knocked the breath out of me for 2 minutes, and my back's hurt every day since then.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Damn. See, I was... One of the guys, I got concussions. I got multiple concussions in practice. Mm. So that's what practice is what took me out. I had mine senior year of high school, so I was able to play like through high school and stuff. But I was one of those undersized linemen, as you know. I'm 5'9", 5'10" on a good day, and I was one of those. I was one of those chop blockers.
Yeah.
Where I'd see a guy like you, and I'd take the legs out, and then pray that you didn't fall right on top of me, because then I'd be fucked. I'd have to try and squat you up.
I don't think you can do that anymore, right?
No, 2012 high school football in New York was definitely a different time.
Yeah, but after that, I was like, my back was hurting. I was like, I was kind of falling out of love with baseball at the time too, and I was just like, I'm just gonna play basketball.
Who was your team growing up?
And what?
For a bit. Did you follow? I know you're a Ravens fan for football, right?
Yeah.
And then do you have a baseball team that you root for or not really?
Not really. I mean, I liked watching the Yankees, and also I didn't like watching baseball on TV back in the
Really?
Day. Yeah, I don't know why. I just, now that they got the pitch clock, it's a whole lot better, I guess.
It moves a lot faster.
But yeah, it was, I don't know. I definitely didn't love baseball like I did the other sports.
Yeah. What led you to loving the Ravens? Is it because of Lamar?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not like a, what do they call that when you chase after teams that win? What's it called?
Front runner.
Or something like that, yeah. We don't have an NFL team in Kentucky. So it was either the Colts, the Bengals, or I guess the Titans. And then watching Lamar, I mean, I was at every game when Lamar was there. I used to work at this park called Kentucky Kingdom on like their medical team right after high school. And like a bunch of group of people was like right next to the stadium. So we would just go over there and watch the games and shit. And seeing Lamar, he went to the Ravens and so did I. So.
And now John Harbaugh is coaching my Giants, which I'm very excited about. And we got, who's the full, there's the fullback that, the beast of a fullback that the Giants just got from the Ravens. They signed him. I forget his name. I know him and Scadaboo are going to be a force, though, because Scadaboo just likes to run over people.
Yeah. Is he back now?
Yeah.
Is he good?
He's back, yeah.
He's back and better?
He'll hopefully he makes it a full season. He's a little stumpy bastard.
What was we talking about before that? I was going to say something. I forgot.
We were talking about sports growing up, and then you hurting your back. That leads you to pursuing music more, like
the Ravens or something.
Yeah, you were watching Lamar. You were working in the park in the medical field.
I kind of grew up a Colts fan, actually. I was like in love with Peyton Manning, and then he went to the Broncos, and I went to the Broncos, and then he retired, and then I became a Ravens fan.
You didn't want to stick around for Tebow at the Broncos?
No, that was good.
That one playoff game that he had
against
the Steelers or whatever.
The injury, what'd you say, the injury in the music?
Yeah, so you stop in eighth grade, you're like 14 at that time. Is that what led you, because your dad was a music guy too, right? Like you would play shows with your dad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still played sports all through high school. I played basketball. I was all right, but I didn't play as much as I wanted to. I was also scared to do what I wanted to do, I guess, in basketball.
Yeah.
I got better after I graduated high school.
Yeah, less pressure.
Yeah, I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But, my dad played in bands his whole life, and I kind of knew I wanted to do it from the beginning. I mean, I used to sit, and he played in, like, a cover rock band or something, like playing a bunch of Stained and Pearl Jam shit. And I remember, like, sitting at the rehearsals and stuff as a kid, and I was like, I want to go play something. But ended up learning guitar when I was 12, and then I guess after I graduated, I didn't really sing like when I was doing the chorale thing. I think I did a solo with a buddy. We both got up and did the Blues Brothers thing in the auditorium there at the school.
Oh, the I'm a Soul Man thing?
Yeah.
There's a
video somewhere of that.
There's a video somewhere? Yeah. We're going to have to dig that up.
Dancing and
You had the glasses on?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love that.
But I did that, and then I don't think that really made me be like, oh, I want to do this forever. But my dad entered me into a county singing competition. It was called The Voice of like Meade County. And I did that, and I ended up winning it, and there was like 800 people there in the crowd. And at first, I wasn't going to do it, but they picked, like, the judges were, like, actually on the show The Voice back in the day, and they picked, like, 15 out of us, out of, like, 100 submissions or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll do it, whatever. I didn't know. My dad just sent the video in for me. And then did it, won it. And then just seeing the crowd's reaction and shit, we like played with the live band and stuff, and I was like, this is sick. And then after that, my dad's like, you want to just start a band together? And we started a band called The Loading Boys. It was me and him acoustic at first, and then added bass and drums. And I mean, we played shows, two or three shows a weekend until I moved here.
Wow, so you were able to get reps before you moved down here.
Yeah, I mean, I did that for, I think, 6 years.
Wow.
I think I was still playing with the Loading Boys while I was living, like when I first moved down.
Yeah, see, because I remember seeing you posting the flyers for those and seeing you getting tagged in those.
Yeah.
And what was your favorite Loading Boys gig that you got to do?
The Shop in Brandenburg, Kentucky. That's like, it's not my hometown, but it's like my hometown bar.
Yeah.
It's like a honky tonk vibes. It was like an old welding shop. They still use the back half and like work out of it. The owner does. But they turned it into a bar, and he built everything inside the bar.
Wow.
Himself. And it's always Rowdy in there. It's kind of like my hometown gig. I still play it, actually.
Really?
I'm playing it once a year, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool, dude. And now, what the Loading Boys gigs, were those, did you guys have originals? Like, were you guys writing stuff at that point, or was it just strictly rock and country covers?
Yeah, just southern rock and country.
Did you have drunks in the back yelling for you guys to play Freebird?
Probably at some point, yeah. I'm sure there was. We might have played it. I don't remember. But yeah, playing that gig, and we didn't write anything. I may have filtered in some of my stuff that I was trying to write,
yeah,
I think, at some of the shows.
Yeah.
Then eventually I just made it my show, and I think my dad still played with me, like, my first couple Cody shows.
That's awesome, dude. Now, what's his reaction been like to seeing you now having the career that you're having and having the opportunities that you're getting? Like, he has to be so proud watching you, dude.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he was never, like, at the beginning, it was like, I worked at the fire department. It's like, are you sure you want to give up this job kind of thing? Because it's a career. It's not something you work for a couple years and quit. And I was like, the last 3 months, I was like, yeah, I want to quit and do this. And he was supportive of it all. And then, I mean, he's my biggest fan. He still drives to every show himself. Like, the first tour I got was going out with Earn Acoustic, and we were going all over the place. And my dad would just follow the bus and his truck. And then still does that to this day. I mean, he'll drive 12 hours to come watch the show.
Was he in Maine?
He did not go to Maine.
I was going to say, that's a haul.
That's like the first show I think that he's missed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he have a favorite song in your set?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure he does. I don't know what it is.
You just haven't asked him.
Yeah, I mean, he's singing all of them. He used to like Facebook Live them too.
Facebook dad. Yeah, I love
it. You gotta quit doing that.
I love it. Facebook dad.
I'm like, no, just tell him to get a ticket and come see the show.
And then you're getting like Tammy and shit in the hometown. Yeah. Be like, oh, look at little Cody.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at little Cody opening for Ernest.
I've also got a lot more cousins now than I've known to have my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. People hitting me up and, hey, what's up, cuz? We're related and this and that. And I'm like, okay.
Delete. What's been the wildest hometown DM you've gotten?
I don't know how wild. One I thought was funny, there was like a Karen messaged me on Facebook or something and was like, you need to quit writing songs about drinking. And it like sent me like 3 paragraphs. I don't even know. I think I deleted it, but it was just funny seeing her critique my songs. I'm like, all right.
Next. Were you from like a dry county area?
No.
So your county was not dry, but there are dry counties in Kentucky, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Mine wasn't. I don't know. I almost feel, no. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the dry counties are. But I know mine wasn't for sure.
Yeah, but Karen was still up there not liking the drinking.
Yeah. I had somebody else said the same thing. They're like, it's a bad influence or something like that. And I'm like, all right, cool.
You're just writing songs about your life and what you've seen and what you see other people go through. And
I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah, just cold beer, cold beer and country music, like Zach Toff likes to say, dude. What were those first shows with Earn like? Were there any, like, oh, shit moments, like, this is actually happening kind of thing?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, that was kind of my first full tour that I went out on, and I was by myself with an acoustic, and I played 15 minutes. It was me, then Jake Worthington, then Earn. But no, I was sick. I mean, I think the crowd dug me, and it went good. But I don't know any oh shit moments.
Has there been an oh shit moment since you've been like playing live where you've gotten an opportunity and it's like, wow, I'm here?
I think the coolest oh shit for me right now is just seeing people sing my songs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not, the whole crowd's not singing them yet. But I'll see some people like in random places singing my shit, and I'm like, how do you know this song? But that's super cool to see that and that they actually fuck with it. So
yeah, dude. No, it's powerful stuff, and you are in fact doing it. And then to have the cuts like you've had with had the cuts with, well, of course, Ernest, and being a part of the Cadillac Sessions, and then having some Bailey cuts, having some Austin cuts, like that's gotta be pretty cool.
Yeah. The Bailey song was sick. I mean, it was the last song on the album, and I don't know if anybody fucked with it or not, but it was still cool to get a cut with him. And I just like opened, I did like a 3-day run with him, opening for him in Kentucky. And then we wrote after that. I think that was actually a fluke too, how that happened. 'Cause Chandler's like, yo, we have a day tomorrow. Who do you want to write with? And I'm like, just hit up Bailey. And he's like, no, seriously, like, who do you want to write with? And I'm like, hit up Bailey, tell him to pull up. And he pulled up, and we wrote a song, and I think 3 more people jumped on it, too, during the day, because they seen Bailey in the room. They're like, ah, okay, let me hop in here and throw a word in. But nah, that was cool. Austin, obviously, is a boy.
Yeah.
We're in the same group of buddies that were coming to town and stuff. And it was cool for me too, because I don't do like rock stuff, and I feel like some of the songs we did were kind of rockish vibes. So that was cool, and to be boys and get some cuts with him, and the Earn stuff. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was gonna happen sooner or later.
Papa Bear.
Yeah, Papa Bear.
Papa Bear, dude.
Yeah, I got some stuff with Kenny Whitmire too, some early stuff. And I got some cooler shit down the pipeline, hopefully. So,
yeah. If someone were to ask you, what does your music sound like? What would you tell them? Like, well, like if someone was just like a broad question, like, what's a Cody Loden song or what's a Cody Loden show kind of feel like? How would you describe it?
Small town vibes, party vibes, drinking, also some heartbreak shit, some experience from a small town kid that worked fire and EMS and got a shot in Nashville. And
yeah,
just telling my stories.
What would be your if you could pick, we'll limit it to 3, but if you want to expand it to 5, your 3 or 5 favorite bars in Nashville?
Number 1 is probably Losers. I feel like that's my go-to for sure. Red Door. Even though Red Door is not the same.
No, it isn't.
Red
it
Door
isn't
back
what it
in the
was.
Day was totally
Red Door
different.
Back in the day, sitting in that smoking section was elite.
Yeah, after the Raise Rowdy shows, and we'd go there, and you just know everybody in the bar. And now it's a bunch of college kids.
Yeah, or it's the class of kids that have just moved to town that That's you don't true. Know because you've been here for a while, you know? Like, it kind of cycles through.
Yeah.
So Losers, Red Door, I'm sensing the Midtown theme here.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I feel like that's really the only 2 places I go. I mean, I'll venture out to Broadway every now and then. We were on Broadway this past week. We went to Whiskey Row, and I like Barstool. Barstool's cool. But, I mean, if I'm going out, it's either Red Door or Losers.
Yeah.
Losers 98% of the time.
Yeah. And, yeah, those – I remember the Broadway nights, like, when Paxton and all those guys had their gigs down there. And you guys would go down and be, like, the whole squad would be there watching the boys play a cover
just
set.
Just get hammered and
– get hammered. Then you guys would all hop up and, like, do a song. Like, Eamon would hop up. Max King. Connor had a gig down there for a while. And, like, the whole crew.
I think that was the Valentine.
The Valentine. Sunday nights at the Valentine.
Yeah.
Because Paxton would be on the road doing cover gigs in, like, Mississippi or Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then they'd come back in the van and go play the Valentine closing shift.
Yeah, those were good times. We should have been at church and going to sleep and getting our week started, but we were at Valentine.
You were at Valentine with the most degenerate of tourists, because most tourists leave on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. The ones that really come to party stick around until Monday. Yep. They book those Wednesday to Monday trips.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. they get crazy, man. They get crazy. What's something that you would tell a kid that's thinking about moving here?
Make connections. What's that called? What do they call it?
Networking.
Networking. Yeah. I'd say that's probably the biggest, honestly. Networking in Midtown, going out to the bars, meeting people, going to rounds, getting your name out there. Yeah. Don't be scared to do it.
Do you have a favorite round moment from early on?
I don't know if it's like a specific moment, but definitely your all's thing, the Raise Rowdy shit, was that was like the only round I think I would play back in the day. I mean, y'all had the best round for sure. It was always rowdy.
And I could tell that you guys enjoyed playing because you guys would come out even when you weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know. Yeah. That's when Nick and I know that we have a kid's kind of sunk in on our community. Is it could be a night that you don't. You might not even know anybody that's playing.
Yeah.
And the whole squad just comes
all
out.
The boys are going to be there, and everybody knows everybody.
Those old $3 Bush Lights at Live Oak.
Yeah, those were good times.
You guys dipping into the cooler.
Yeah,
the cooler on stage.
The free
bro.
Drinks. We're not even playing.
Yeah, because you came after I had the Delta 8 sponsorship, right? Or were you there when I had that?
I wouldn't have drank it anyway.
It's not drinking. No. It was, we had, during COVID, when I was doing my COVID rounds, I had my buddy Andrew had like a small startup, like Delta 8 company. And I would have him, he'd give me a couple bucks a month. And then we would give out Delta 8 lollipops to everybody in the crowd. And Andrew would sell like pre-rolls and like Delta 8 on the patio at Live Oak. So it was like, come play Matt Brill's round and you get high. And I remember Hasten and Live Oak telling me like, dude, you got a great crowd here, but nobody's drinking. They're all high. We're having record number of chicken tenders eaten.
Everybody's got the munchies.
Yeah, if someone were to come to you and ask like what's the go-tos in Nashville, like the Nashville essentials that you have to hit. I figured Losers will be on that list, but like what would you tell somebody coming to visit, like what they should do?
Let's see. I feel like Losers, everybody wants to go to Losers. I mean, I would hit Broadway if you're just coming to visit, for sure.
What about the food spots? I know you're a foodie.
What's that supposed to mean?
You have a fine taste in cuisine. You're a foodie. I'm a foodie. I'm not a size 3X, but I'm a foodie. I know the good food spots.
That's not fucked up.
Where do you like to go and eat? Like, where's your Mexican restaurant that you like?
Las Palmas in Midtown.
You're a Las Palmas guy, yeah. Las Palmas. I used to go to the one on 8th Avenue. That's where I came up with the idea to do this podcast.
Really?
My buddy Tyler, who's also a big guy. He was out with Muscadine forever when I was on that gig, but we sat down at a booth in Las Palmas and decided to do a podcast together in 2018. That's how this whole thing started for me. It was over chips and queso at at Las Palmas.
Yeah. I also like Baja Burrito.
That is Shout a very underrated spot. Yeah. A lot of people don't know about that over there by the Guitar Center, bro.
No.
That is a go-to spot. I haven't been over there in a while, but you're making me want to get over there.
I feel like every time I go like 3 days in a row.
Oh, you go on a Baja Bender.
Yeah, Baja Bender. Yeah.
Now you get what's your burrito order look like?
Double meat.
Double meat. Now
are you pause? Chicken and steak. Double chicken and steak. Rice. No beans.
You just skip over that section completely.
Yeah. Go get some. What I say? Rice, queso, pico. Lettuce, cheese.
You're stuffing that thing.
Yeah.
Double chicken and steak is a move.
Yeah, it's good.
And I guess you don't have to choose between one or the other.
No.
You double down.
The best of both meats.
All the meats. You a big barbecue guy?
Yeah. I like Mission Barbecue.
Mission, okay.
Because they do like the whole police, fire, EMS, military thing too. So we'd go there while we were working in Louisville. But, I like Mission Barbecue. What's the other one? There's another good one.
The two that are here that are solid. Are you thinking of like ones that they kind of have everywhere?
No, they're here.
Martin's and Edley's.
Martin's, yes. Both of those are good. I like both.
Martin's Wings.
Mm. I don't know if I've had their wings.
That's what Nikki T goes for. Nikki T's a big wing guy. Martin's and Edley's getting the wings with that Alabama white sauce, bro. Mm. Some good shit.
Sounds good.
That's some good shit. Or getting the barbecue sandwich in Martin's. That's good too.
I'm a brisket guy.
Oh, you're a brisket guy. Okay. Have you gotten the tour in Texas yet, or Kansas City, or one of those big brisket hubs?
No, I need to. It sounds great.
That's the content we should be doing, man. When you're on the road, you're trying this food in these places.
It would make sense.
Like, find the best, try and find something that stacks up to Baja Burrito in a town that isn't a Chipotle.
Yeah. I'm a big Mexican guy, though, overall. I eat that the most, I think.
Yeah.
There's a a spot called Miguel's.
Miguel's?
In my hometown.
Okay.
And I would eat there 4 or 5 days a week, clearly. but, yeah, shout out Miguel's. That place is unbeatable.
Was your small town the kind of place where they'd have music in the Mexican restaurant, too? Like, where there'd be people playing?
My dad actually used to, like, play. That was my first time playing guitar was at the Miguel's.
No shit.
Yeah, in Hardinsburg. Yeah.
Because I remember Trey Lewis telling me stories. He used to play at a place called Pablo's that was down in Alabama. Yeah. And he called it his Pablo's tour, where he booked That's a run funny. At all the Pablo's within a certain distance of Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
And he would just go and play acoustic cover gigs at all the Mexican restaurants.
That's crazy.
All the Pablo's in Birmingham.
There was another Mexican joint that I played at quite a bit in Lewisport. I can't remember the name of it. It was like a county over from mine, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, Miguel's, great food. Now their prices are crazy, but
everything goes
not
up,
compared
man.
To Nashville, I yeah. guess. So I don't really care to pay it when I'm home.
You a margarita guy at the Mexican restaurant?
More Dos Equis.
Oh, you did the Mexican beer.
Yeah,
Dos cold Equis Mexican with beer a lime. To go with yeah. lime. Okay, yeah. So you go all out on yeah. that. And then what do you get? Are you burrito at the Mexican restaurant too? Or do you like to mix it up?
I mix it up. They have this thing called the Happy Chicken.
The Happy Chicken.
It's just chicken, rice, and cheese.
Yeah, chicken, cheese, and rice. That yeah. is the essential. I didn't know that existed until I moved mm-hmm. to the South.
Yeah.
I felt like I was obligated at a Mexican restaurant to get like the enchiladas or the flautas or the taquitos yeah. or whatever. And then I remember going with one of my, I forget who it was, but when I first moved down here, and they were like, when you go to a Mexican restaurant, just get chicken, cheese, and rice. Mm-hmm. It's going to be consistent anywhere you go.
Yeah. Tastes the same everywhere for the most
you
part.
You dip the chips in there, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I like the tortillas.
Oh, tortilla. Okay.
And so I get jalapenos in them, too.
Oh, you're a spicy bastard. Yeah. You like the spiciness.
I like spice.
You like spicy shit. Yeah. Damn.
Steak tacos, lettuce and cheese only, jalapenos, burrito. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. So we just got new music out there now. When are we looking at more songs coming out? Because I know you said you've recorded quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And has everything from that first batch been put out? Or are we still...
No, we're still
holding on to some.
Yeah, I think we did 14 and we're on number 6, I think.
Oh, wow. So we're not even halfway there.
Yeah. We're doing singles like every 5 to 6 weeks.
Nice. That seems to be the plan right now, dude. Yeah. It's just pumping out the singles now. Do we know what the next one's going to be?
Yeah, One Boot Out the Door.
Okay, what's that one about? I think it kind of speaks to the title. I can kind of figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of a fishing song-ish. She gets pissed because you're out fishing and come home, she kicks you out and your boat's still hooked up. Your jigs are still on the pole, all this shit. You kicked the boot off outside on the porch because you stumbled in drunk.
I'm going to miss her kind of vibes.
Yeah. And I'm already one boot out the door, so fuck it.
You should do a video for that one.
Yeah.
The content for that one of you on. Do you get on the water here in Nashville quite a bit?
I haven't.
You haven't gone out on like Old Hickory or Percy Priest or any of those?
Nope. I've been meaning to, but I haven't. But I grew up on a lake in my hometown called Rough River Lake. So I try to go back there when I can and go out on the water there.
That's where that.
Plus, I know the water too. So.
Oh, you know. Okay, so do you get sketched out if you don't know the water?
I mean, I would like to know where I'm going without looking at a map. I guess. I mean, I could look at a map. You could probably do it on GPS nowadays, but I just haven't gone out. I need to. I need to find time.
Yeah.
Do some fishing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I miss that. What's your favorite hunting season? You said you like going hunting.
Deer.
Deer season.
That's the only thing I've ever hunted.
Really? Yeah. Never gotten a turkey or duck or anything?
Am I wearing
stuff?
A duck hunting hat right now?
You are wearing a duck
hat. Yeah, and
hat.
I've never been. Somebody else caught me. But no, they send me hats and they're sick. So shout out.
Shout out, Fat Mallard.
Yeah, Country Fat Mallard. Funny story, I was at Hall's Steakhouse one night.
Yeah.
And I know like some of the people that work there or whatever. And this waiter I didn't know or waitress. That was waiting on us. She walked up and I had a Fat Mallard hat on. And the other people told her that I was like putting a song out tonight. So that's why we're here eating. And she was like, oh, is your artist name Fat Mallard? I'm like, what the fuck?
You should make that. Yeah. You should just mess around on Suno and make an alter ego like rapper name and just go by Fat Mallard.
I have one. It's called Big Slurp.
Big Slurp?
Got some Big Slurp songs. Big Shouldn't have told you because now I can't put out music under Big Slurp.
You can.
We're gonna know.
You can. You can do Big Slurp.
But yeah, the Fat Mallard thing, I was like, that's fucked up. But whatever, that's cool. I'll be all right. Give me three steaks.
Give me three ribeyes now. Yeah. Three ribeyes and all the fixins, like Kenny Powers and Stevie. Yeah. All the fixins. Give me all the fixins.
What were we saying though?
So we got one boot out the door coming.
Yeah, one boot out the door.
Are we looking at a project at the end of it?
I don't know. I think the strategy is singles for now. I thought it would be cool. You know Russ, the artist, he's like a rapper or something.
The king of the SoundCloud.
But he was saying he did like an album, but he released every song off the album as a single. Because he loved the songs and wanted them to get the attention. I thought that could be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, as of right now, no plans to have an album. I mean, I want to.
Yeah.
Eventually, but kind of new and doing what's working for now.
Yeah, you got to just kind of do it when the time is right. Yeah. You know, there's no rush. I feel like sometimes people rush into doing a whole project before they're ready or their catalog justifies doing a whole project. Like right now you're just throwing darts and you've gotten right near the bullseye. And on the bullseye on some of them, it's like, just keep throwing darts.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have the songs to do a 40-song album if I wanted to, which would be cool. But, yeah, I mean, normally when I go in, I have 40 songs on a hold link to pick from. Like, I come in well-prepared, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with cutting any of them. I love all of them. And then we kind of sift through and find the heaters, I guess.
Yeah. How has the writing process changed for you to now you're Cody Loden, the artist, as opposed to Cody Loden, the kid that just moved down here that was playing Black Betty on TikTok?
I think I've always, like, even in my rights, like, come in as an artist, but even more now, I feel like I know what I want to say. And I've got a small circle, Nick Boyd, Ryan Ball, and Matt Mulhare.
Oh, dude, I fucking love Mulhair. Yeah. That's my, we joke around, we call each other our paisans.
Yeah, he's from New York, right?
We grew up about 20 minutes apart from each other. I didn't know him until he moved down here, but
crazy.
We grew up, but he's just on the other side across the Hudson River from me.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I got my circle, and I feel like they've written with me enough to know what I want to say, too. And
yeah.
We're always right. I mean, we probably write, even when we don't have scheduled writes, we're like, hey, let's write something.
Yeah. Have you gotten to go on a lot of retreats?
I've done, not for myself, I guess.
No, but just in general, like, because that's the concept that you hear all the time people talking about writing retreats. Like, what's like a weird or different kind of spot that you got to go to on a retreat? Is a lot of it just kind of getting out in the country, or have you gotten to go, like, to an exotic place?
We did a Cadillac retreat. That was the last one I did. And that one was, I think it was out in Pegram. It was at like a nice S house on top of a mountain. I did one with Jelly Row probably like 9 months ago or a year or something like that. It was in Orlando. That was pretty sick.
Nice.
I don't think I'd ever been to Orlando before.
Yeah. But I was just down there. That airport's wild.
Yeah.
It's chaos. Mm-hmm. I don't like that Orlando airport at all. Me and Ike waited 2 hours for our bags at baggage claim because a big storm came through. It just rains and Florida weather's just fucking wild, man.
Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, that was probably the coolest one. In Orlando with Jelly. And then I'm trying to get me one going now. Just got to find the time to do it.
Where would be like a destination you'd want to go to do that?
I just want to go like to my lake in my hometown, honestly.
Just a lake weekend with like your guys. Cabin
Wednesday through Sunday and have Matt, Nick, and Ryan there and write songs and go out on the lake and fish and chill in my hometown.
Not a bad weekend. Take them over to Miguel's.
Yeah, for sure. Show them how to jug.
Show them how to what?
Jugging.
What's a jug?
For catfish.
No. Oh, catfish.
Never done this?
No. Dude, no.
So it's like,
what's it? What is jugging?
Like a foot long PVC pipe, seal it on both ends, put a noodle over it, like a pool noodle, and then an eyelet at the end, and tie some trot line string on it, and a hook, and cast net, catch some shad or bluegill or whatever, cut them up, throw it on the hook and throw them out. They kind of sit on the water like this, and when a fish is on it, it just bounces down the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I heard you. So what's the thing where they put their arm in the hole?
That's noodling.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Never done that. I want to do that, though.
You want to do that?
Yeah. I actually talked to Cole Wetzel about that. We were somewhere, Texas, maybe for the ACMs or something, and I was like, yo, I want to go. Kind of nervous, but I want to go. I don't want to lose a finger or not be able to play guitar or something, but I'm probably definitely going to wear a glove when I go. But I want to go, for sure. I think that'd be sick.
Yeah, the concept of a giant-ass fish just pulling on your arm. Yeah. I don't know if I could do it.
I'm worried about snapping turtles.
Oh, yeah, dude.
With no glove going down in there, losing a finger. Don't want that. would not be good for the career.
What's something that you would tell yourself when... We'll go back to getting those DMs and seeing the reaction on TikTok and having that viral moment. What's something you would tell that kid, knowing what you know now, like for where his career is eventually going to go from messing around with the boys at the house and posting that video on a limb to now having millions of streams on your songs, getting to go and play in wild places like Maine and have a team behind you that believes in you. Like, what would you tell that version of Cody Loden?
I mean, not to be afraid to put yourself out there, I guess, that video in general. Like, I wasn't even going to post that video because I thought it was stupid and people wouldn't take me serious. And then it blew up and I wouldn't be here without it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just do it like Nike.
Just do it.
Shout out Nike.
Shout out. you got a nice watch on, too. What are you rocking?
This is just it's a DeVille watch.
Oh, a DeVille watch?
I can't remember the guy that made it, but yeah. That looks cool. Like a Rolly.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, you got a Rolly there. And I'm like, yeah. Just play it off. But no, it's a guy in Brentwood that made them.
Nice.
Some custom watches. He made a Cadillac one, too.
That's cool.
This one's messed up now, though, I think, from the water. It's got, like, rust and shit in it.
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, it's broken in.
And it doesn't work.
It's game worn.
Yeah.
Game worn, yeah. I got an Oris on. We got an Oris clock behind you. They're one of our new sponsors and friends.
That's sick.
And then Country Music. This is one of their like anniversary like divers, which is cool. So shout out to our friends from Oris. We appreciate you. Yeah, look at the clock. Yeah, Oris clock. And it's like close to accurate on time, I think, which is good.
See, it works. It was mine. That's a big ass clock, though.
Yeah, it is.
Or a watch, I guess.
Yeah, it is, right? It's pretty wild, dude. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on here, and I'm glad we could pop your podcast cherry together, bro. Anything else you wanna talk about or say on here? Any wild topics? Are you good at Madden? You strike me as somebody that plays sports games. Are you Madden or 2K? Which one would you pick?
Which one I'm better at?
Which one you play more?
I'm good at both. I mean, I kind of go through phases. Now that it's football season again, I'm pulling out the sticks on Madden.
Are you one of those guys, because you're a Ravens fan, that you just call like a deep pass play and just run with Lamar?
Every time.
Yeah.
People get pissed. But yeah.
I used to do that with Mike Vick back in the day.
Yeah. Literally every play, I just run. Spread the field and take off running.
Hope to hit that slide button so you don't get
and try not to fumble popped. Every time.
That's the problem, dude. No. That's the problem with Madden. You get that, or college football. You get that running quarterback, and then he just gets popped, and then he gets injured, and you're like, oh, shit, the next guy. And then you try to do it with the guy that has, like, 50 speed. And it's just not the same.
Sometimes I'll switch him out and put, like, the third-string quarterback in because he's got, like, a 96 speed. Just use him and run the whole time.
Okay.
It's my trick.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Guy knows ball.
Yeah, a little bit.
Then you play 2K quite a bit too?
Ish. Yeah, I'll go through, like I said, I go through phases, but yeah, I play 2K online, my park with some boys back home.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm all right. I'm not that good at 2K.
Yeah, I'm not as good at 2K as I am Madden as well. And I'm a big MLB The Show guy. I'm a baseball nerd, and right now we're still in Yankee season. Yeah. So, locked in on baseball. But the Knicks got a championship, which changed my life. I was in tears at Odie's when they won because I'm like, this team was so bad.
I feel like I was there.
So long. Were you there that night?
I think I was.
Yeah, I was on
the bat. I was there the night before, so I was, I think y'all were doing a show there.
Oh, you were there the Wednesday night that they played. Yeah, and I had my jersey on. Yeah, I went there Odie's gave me like one of those little outdoor seated areas. They like reserved it for me and Ike and some of our crew. And Ike got a video of me and I was crying like a baby, bro.
I've seen that on Instagram.
The GM Ryan came over. I like gave him this big hug. You would have thought that like I just became a dad or something like that. Like it was a wild moment.
I was with Matt Mulher when we were doing that Cadillac retreat during those games.
Yeah.
And this house that we were at, they had like a big home movie theater, so we had it on the big screen. It was me, him, Nick Boyd, and I think Reese, and Matt was going crazy.
Yeah, dude, it was like not even 10 years ago people were wearing paper bags going to Knicks games. We were the laughingstock of sports. And now we have a title, bro. Now we have a title, and I'm hoping the Yankees can do one. I'm hoping Harbaugh brings us some good luck with the Giants. Jackson Dart can stay healthy and stay out of the damn blue tent. They're calling him Mr. Blue Tent now because he's been in the blue tent as many times in one season as Patrick Mahomes has his entire career.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's not good.
Patrick's always hurt. So.
Yeah, I know. And Jackson's got as many blue tent concussion things, dude. But seriously, I appreciate you coming on here. And I'm excited for what the future holds with the new music. And I can't wait for the rest of these songs that you've had in the tank to be out in the world, bro.
Yeah, me too.
Do we have an estimated time of... One boot coming out?
September 4th, I think. I don't know. I can check.
We can check over there. September is coming out? Is that the 4th? It's Friday. Oh, shit. So this Friday.
Yeah, the 4th.
The 4th? Hell yeah. So that'll be out.
Midnight, yeah.
So that'll be out when we drop this podcast. So y'all be sure to go check out One Boot Out the Door. And I love that you're part of this movement of making country fun again and giving folks something to listen to that's happy, man.
Yeah.
And mixing in those breakup and those heartbreak songs as well. But a song like One Boot Out the Door sounds like it's a twist on that breakup song.
A little heartbreak, but we don't care. We're having fun.
We're just having fun, man. We're just having fun. But y'all be sure to go check out our man, Cody Loden. Go stream the shit out of the songs that have been out. And be sure to go jam out to One Boot Out the Door. And be on the lookout. Do we have any more shows coming up this year? Or we pretty much wrapped it up?
I think I have like 6 or 7 shows the rest of this year.
Hell yeah. Who are you going out with?
I think it's mainly festival shit.
Okay. Hell yeah. A
couple of private things.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. Well, I can't wait for the day that we're crossing paths at a festival too, because I've done so many. And what we'll do is I was talking with Hackworth about this when we had him on. I can't wait to get you, same thing applies to you, because these festivals, they give me a golf cart now to where I can go out to the campgrounds. If I can rip you out to the campground, dude, and go get out there with the people. Dude, content and just freaking like just rolling up on the rowdiest campsite and just getting out there with the people, dude. It'd be a lot of fun. We'll have some cigars, dude. It'll be awesome. So hell yeah, dude. Well, appreciate you coming on. Like I said, y'all be sure to go check out our man, Cody Loden, One Boot Out the Door. You can find him anywhere on social media. And I want to be on the lookout for that Blues Brothers video. I'm going to have to try and...
I'll try to find it,
We'll have to listen to that. I'm sure Nikki T would love to see it. Maybe we can get you to karaoke that song at the Ray's Rowdy Christmas party. Nikki T, I'm sure, will sing it with you over at the Rusty Nail, which we'll be doing in December.
Wear my suit and glasses.
Dude, I mean, you commit to it. Me and or Nick. You might have 3 Blues Brothers up there. It'd be awesome. Yeah. So shout out as well to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles means no troubles. y'all can go check out our friends from Surfside. Check out their cousin Superlight as well. Sport drink and vodka. And for more on us, visit RaysRally.com. For my man Cody Loden, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.